Welcome to the Lubar Executive Education Podcast. In this episode, we'll be talking about ways to grow your business with the help of advertising. With me today is Robert Brill. Robert is the CEO of Brill Media, a digital advertising agency dedicated to helping businesses grow with tactics that are sustainable and long-term. Robert is passionate about cultivating brands, propelling businesses forward, and loves creative testing and business insights. His team has been honored 10 times across the Financial Times 500 and Inc. 5000 for its successes in helping business leaders understand their product market fit, how to use Meta effectively, and how to use data from advertising to make better decisions. Welcome, Robert. It's great to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Appreciate it.
Well, to get us started, can you talk a little bit about your background and how you got into helping businesses grow?
Yeah, absolutely. I've spent 20 years in advertising. First 9 months of my career, I was still in college and I was working at Universal Music. Then my first agency job was at Universal McCann, one of the largest multinational ad agencies in the world. And since then, I've been working with inside advertising agencies. And by 2013, I had accumulated 10 years of experience and started my own shop, Brill Media. And we bootstrapped it. And we're doing well today here in 2024.
All right. Glad to hear it. So with all your experience, what do leaders get wrong about investing in advertising?
Yeah, there's a few things. Number one, they don't pay for expertise. And it's understandable why they don't pay for expertise. And the reason why is because anyone with a computer, an internet connection, and a Facebook account can sell you Facebook ads. But usually, or just by volume, most of those people don't have experience. So there's a lot of trust issues in the advertising business. And we trade on trust. We trade on expertise and experience. So number one, when you don't hire an expert and you try to do it yourself, you're not usually spending money to generate growth for your business. What you're actually doing is spending money to learn how Facebook ads work. And that's probably not the best use of your time or your money. The second thing is it delays you with your opportunities. So by hiring an expert, you save your investment to actually make it work for your business. And number two, you save probably hundreds or thousands of hours of missed opportunities and work doing that you could have been doing somewhere else. The second thing that's also part of that equation is going to be strategy. You need strategy to grow your business and you need strategy to make your advertising work. And strategy is really, it's a navigation plan. It's like if you're traveling from Los Angeles to New York, you have to make decisions like, number one, where in New York are you going to go? Are you going to take the plane? Are you going to take a train? Are you going to fly? And then you further back into the details. And a strategy for businesses is really, what is your business goal? Do you want money, prestige, power, clients, headcount? What's going to be important for you? You look at your transformative value for your business, or that your business provides to your customers. Why are they buying from you? You look at past marketing and advertising efforts. You look at the economics of your clients. What does it cost to acquire a customer? What does it cost? What's the lifetime value of a customer? Those types of numbers. And then you pair all that information, not to mention the ideal customer profile. Like, how do you know when you're talking to your customer? You pair all that information with insights from an expert, and they can tell you, look, you should be on Google and Meta, for example, or you should be running ads on Amazon. So not hiring an expert is a problem, and then not having a strategy is a problem. What people do instead, if they don't have a strategy, is they just say, oh, I heard that my audience is on TikTok. But there's no rationale about why you're running ads on TikTok, and whether Facebook or Meta is a better platform for you than TikTok. And in some cases, yes. In some cases, no. So those are two things. There's plenty of other things I can talk about. We'll stop there.
All right. Sounds good. And that all makes total sense. And it's a really good distinction, I think, and explanation for everybody about you have to work on your strategy and work on things that you're really good at. So outsource the things that maybe you're not as strong in so you really can grow and get the most out of that investment. Now that we've talked a little bit about what leaders are getting wrong about investing in advertising, how should leaders be thinking about marketing and advertising since it is so complex?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few things to consider. Number one, we're looking for repetition and we're looking to build muscle, to build knowledge and insights about how to make things work. Advertising and marketing are practices, just like yoga is a practice and being a lawyer is a practice. The reason it's a practice is because you continuously get better at it day in and day out. And there's me getting good at it over 20 years. There's also the business owner understanding what works for them and what doesn't work for them and their business at the current moment in time. So when you pair up a business owner or a business with a marketing or advertising agency, you are collaborating and collectively getting better to grow a business at a particular point in time. The client knows, from our perspective, the client knows the most about their business. But in the conversation, we will know the most about marketing and advertising. So pairing up those two points of information will be critical. So think about it as a practice. Advertising and marketing is not, they're not light switches. You're not going to flip the switch and be a millionaire by next Sunday, right? You've got to understand things like product market fit. You have to have a testing framework. So the best thing you can do as a business owner is understand the intricacies of your business and build on that. So for example, all you're looking for is to get 1% better every day. 1% better every day is over 37 times improvement over the course of 1 year, 365 days, compounding interest, as it were. You're not looking to hit a home run every time you run an ad. You're looking to get that 1% improvement, and that will turn into a big deal at some future point. The other things that you're looking for that are trends in the marketing and advertising space is that, you know, on this idea of 1% improvement, the thing you should not be doing on Meta, for example, and the reason I talk about Meta is because 45% of all advertising in 2024, all digital advertising, will go to Meta or Google. So those are the two behemoths. It's the duopoly. I'm not specifically here to sell Meta or Google or Hulu or TikTok or anything. Everything we do starts with a strategy, but you have to talk about the two most important platforms in the marketplace. So one of the trends that's incredibly important is this concept of algorithmic decisioning. So in the past, when you run ads on Meta, you targeted keywords and interests, lookalike audiences, and retargeting audiences. And you create a lot of different ad groups with a lot of different targeting parameters. And you say, well, one of these is going to hit, and we got to continuously cycle through these different targeting parameters. Now it's the complete opposite. You go broad. Age, gender, and location. And an example of location is this fundamental idea of what's the maximum location? How broad can it be for people to transact with me? So if I'm marketing a business, if I'm marketing a restaurant, usually the maximum location is 2 to 5 miles around an address, because most people won't travel more than 2 to 5 miles around an address to go like get a burger or something. Unless it's like a destination, then I'll travel like an hour to like downtown Los Angeles. Okay. But for B2B, business to business clients that we have, we can serve people across the United States. So the maximum targeting audience is going to be across the United States. And then age is going to be 25 to 65, because that's about the age group. And then men and women. What we're doing is we're relying on Meta's algorithm to route our ad creative to the people most interested in it. And I'll give you an example of sort of just what this looks like in practice. A lot of our clients are agencies. So we're an outsourced ad buying firm for agencies, okay? We pair up creative work and ad buying and we go to market. Okay, so there's about 40,000 agencies in the United States. Let's say there's 80,000 or 100,000 people that we can possibly work with, like the decision makers at an agency. We are targeting 140 million people in the United States and getting leads that are turning into sales because we are relying on the power of Meta's algorithm to find our best customers. That's the critical part of this equation. So you're no longer looking at granular targeting. You're going broad and letting the decision-making algorithm find our best customers.
That's pretty fascinating. I didn't know that. And yeah. I really like also how you're talking about the concept of doing things 1% better every day and not trying to hit that home run. We talk about that a lot in a slightly different sense in our executive education programs personally, and from a business standpoint, trying to get your business to improve 1,000 things 1% instead of one thing 1,000%.
And that's life too. If I could just expand on that, like, you know, coming out of college, like the first 6 months of my job at Universal McCann, like they just paid me not to mess things up. I didn't get paid a lot, but they paid me not to mess things up and to learn the business.
Yep.
And so you have to have the mindset of continual improvement, long-term time horizon for success. And before you know it, it's been 3 years you've been in the business, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 20 years. And all of a sudden, you command the attention because you have the expertise. And that's what happens with every relationship, with business, with work, with playing a hobby, whatever the case is. It's such an important rule that time is on your side with that compounding interest.
So digging into this a little bit deeper, how can social and paid media be leveraged together to help an organization grow?
So there's, you know, two things, right? When you're talking about paid media, you're talking about, and what we do is paying a publisher or a television network or some inventory owner that has ad space, you're paying them for the ability to deliver a message. That's the definition of advertising. If you're paying money for it, it's advertising. If you're not paying for money for it directly to a publisher, it's not advertising. It's marketing, it's promotion, or something else. So when you talk about marketing, you want to understand what pops in your marketing outside of your advertising. So for example, and I'll give you a real world example of this. We post on TikTok, which is also very silly when you stop and think about it. We're posting like B2B, hardcore, like 7 steps to optimize your Google Ads account. And we don't get a lot of views. We're stuck in like 300 to 1,000 views on most of our videos. But those are the people I'm interested in reaching. I don't want, you know, virality starts to skew the numbers because I can't sell to most of the people who, like I had one video that went viral, 250,000 views. But those people aren't going to be interested in buying B2B outsourced ad buying services, right? But it does get a level of notoriety. I've had reporters reach out to me, so that's kind of cool. So it's in a roundabout way exciting. But when you're looking at TikTok, I purposely create videos that are boring. Everything we do is actually quite boring. It's the fundamentals. I'm not going to give you the next great growth hack for your business. Like there are people who do that. I'm here to do the fundamentals because the fundamentals are what works day in and day out. The strategies that worked in the 1960s still work in 2024, just on different platforms and with different tools and methods, but the fundamental strategy is the same. So what you're doing by creating content is you are looking for the outliers. You want to understand which pieces of content make it out of the normal average views that you get. If you get 1,000 views on most of your videos and one video gets like 5,000 views, what's special about that one? And as you start to understand what works for your content, whether it's videos or posts or carousels, whatever the case is, you start to understand what it is that made those pieces of content special. You try to replicate them. So that's one learning. That's that 1% improvement you're learning. And then secondly, you take your best pieces of content and you amplify them with ads. And by the way, please don't boost posts. Do not boost posts on Meta. Do not do the similar thing, you know, the equivalent thing on TikTok. And that's the wrong way of doing it. That's just a money grab from the platform. You don't get the right targeting capabilities. There's no strategy there. A lot of the times the theory is I'm going to boost a post because I created the ad, the piece of content. I want people to see it. But advertising is a meritocracy. Is that ad good enough to be seen? Probably not. So we have a way of discerning which creatives are should be seen and which creatives should not be seen. But that's a different story. The fundamental idea here is with your social content, you want to understand the triggers that get people engaged, both individuals and the algorithms, because both play a role in getting visibility for a piece of content. And you want to amplify those with ads and then let those grow your business as well.
Got it. All right. So a lot of our listeners and quite a bit of the people we work with are entrepreneurs. How can they get started scaling growth through advertising?
100%. Oh boy, there's a few things to consider here. Don't advertise if you don't have product market fit. That's the first thing. Like, just because you can advertise doesn't mean you should advertise. Product market fit is fundamentally this concept that you know what to say and how to say it so that people buy your stuff. And by the way, it also means you're priced appropriately. You're not charging $29 for a Snickers bar. That would be, no one's going to buy that. So they see the value in what you're buying. So this is the first qualification for advertising is you should have product market fit or, and this is perfectly fine and strategic, or you're trying to ascertain product market fit and you're using advertising to ascertain which headlines, images and video, or primary text on a Meta ad really moves the needle and gets people to buy. That's a perfectly acceptable way to advertise, but don't delude yourself into saying, well, I advertised, it doesn't work, Meta is not for me. Then you try Google, it doesn't work, and Google's not for me. Well, I must come to the conclusion incorrectly that advertising doesn't work for my business. Okay, so you don't want that. So how do you advertise? Well, I'll make it very easy for you. Number one, if you have $1,500 a month, you can work with us. $1,000 of that goes to the platform and $500 of that comes to us to manage your media. It's very low relative to what our competitors charge because we want to make it easy for businesses to grow. I love working with businesses and agencies. And I love having the conversations with the entrepreneurs and talking shop with them because that's what really gets me excited. So we make it very easy for businesses to work with us. If you know how to advertise, or if you think you should be advertising, I would just say don't do it yourself because doing it yourself is going to be the path to wasting money, flushing it down the toilet.
That makes total sense. And having looked into investing in some advertising, that's a pretty attractive price point, if I may, if I may add in. Continuing down the path of talking about entrepreneurs and how we can help them out, since you've started and owned entrepreneurial business here for over 10 years, what other entrepreneurship lessons would you want to share with our listeners?
100%. There's two. The first one is mindset. Mindset is incredibly powerful. It's the reason why you will get up and fight another day when you have a bad day. And if you've been in business, you know, it's a full contact sport. It's a, as one of my former clients said, it's a visceral life-changing experience. And so as a result, you're going to have bad days. And the reason you're going to continue is because you're passionate about the work. You're doing the work you want to do. Your motivations are right. It's all about the money. Because here's the thing. There's an infinite number of ways under the sun to make money. You can go into botany and make money. But I'm not into botany because I like advertising. You can go into cars. You can go to be a plumber. You can be a coach. There's an infinite number of ways to make money. So your rationale has to be the motivation. Like for me, it's like I want the freedom to go to 40 Dodgers games with my family a year. And the money, by the way, because that's incredibly expensive. I want to travel twice a year, like Hawaii one time, and then maybe Europe or some other sort of city destination another time. Like I want to know the why for why I'm putting all this effort. Okay. So mindset is important. That 1% improvement is part of mindset. It's being able to get up in the morning when you've had a rough day and your client is telling you all kinds of crazy things. It's dealing with that and being successful in spite of the fact that you had a bad day. So mindset's important. The second, more practical thing is the following, standard operating procedure. At no point did I get out of bed one day and say, I'm so excited about standard operating procedure. That's not why I started a business. I also didn't start a business about cash flow and invoicing and all that stuff. I started a business to work with entrepreneurs and advertising, do advertising things. But I found that, and here's the story behind it. There was a period when we tripled our staff over a summer. No one was happy. I wasn't happy because I was doing all kinds of ridiculous work. I was like, I just hired a bunch of people. Why am I doing more work? The people I hired, the most senior person I hired actually quit within 6 months. And I know she was really good. I'd worked with her in the past. And I was like, what is actually happening with our business? Like, this is not supposed to be this way. And so I found out from a former colleague that, lo and behold, you don't have standard operating procedure. Everything lived in my head. Everything we did lived in my head. I thought that's just how it works. It lives in your head and people do it. And you can communicate, they understand. So our first chief operating officer came on board. And the first thing he did, we sat down at the Park MGM in Vegas with the whole team and him and I separately at some point. We were at Eataly there. And he was like, okay, tell me everything that happens. Okay, you launch a campaign. What does that mean? Like, what are the 10 things that need to happen when you launch an ad campaign? So we went through all that, and that turns out to be our first standard operating procedure. It's a list of actions that everyone needs to take when they're doing a certain set of tasks within the business, and it creates a clearing for growth because when people fundamentally want to do good, like unless you come across a bad actor or sociopath or something, generally people want to do good work and just be happy with their output. The standard operating procedure makes it so that people know when their responsibilities start and stop, which means that every day they can end the day knowing that they were successful at achieving their business goals because it's written for them. It's very clear. As a result of the happiness, they stay with the business longer. Tribal knowledge starts to percolate inside the business. You start to understand how to do things well and not well. You can then hire further more people. I don't have to train them because the people I've trained are staying with us for many years and doing a good job. Our clients are happier because the output is stronger because we're all far more organized and revenue grows. It's a virtuous cycle. Anyone starting a business, the sort of like most concrete thing I can tell them is take inventory of what you do every single day that can be outsourced to someone. Like outsourced, I mean you hire someone or a freelancer, whatever the case is, and give them a set of tasks to complete and ensure they know how to do it. And that's how you will scale up your business and not monopolize your time to do all the little things that you really don't want to be doing.
Wow. Thanks so much. As much as I appreciate mindset, I'm a much bigger proponent of structure, clarity. You can repeat what you're doing in a consistent way, which is going to lead to growth. Well, before we wrap up this episode, what final advice or thoughts would you like to share with our audience?
Yeah. So if you're advertising, I'll leave you with this little bit of knowledge about what we do. So we have a 13-minute training video on this on our website, and we can link to it or you can email me with information. You just email like Facebook ads or something. So this is a creative testing framework. The fundamental idea is the output is you are training Meta's machine learning algorithm to find your best customers. The first part of it is broad targeting that we already talked about: age, gender, and location, as broad as you possibly can be that people can buy from you. The second is a creative testing framework. All you have to do on Meta is commit to creating 5 ads per month. What those 5 ads involve include are text at the top, the primary text, image or video in the middle. And by the way, bad images work really well. You don't have to get fancy with videos, like ugly ads work. And then headline at the bottom. When you create 5 ads, you have 5 headlines, 5 images or video and 5 primary texts, you have 15 total different elements. When you disassemble them, you can mix and match in all kinds of different ways. You have a total of 125 possible ad variations. That's what you're testing. You're going to go from 125 possible ad variations down to 1 using science powered by Meta's algorithm. So control and variable testing powered by Meta's algorithm. Over the course of a month, you will know which 1 ad is the most effective out of the 125. And there's a few benefits there. Number one, you're spending like 70 to 80% of your budget, of your advertising budget, on the top ads that you have, which means you're not wasting your money going back to boosting posts. Hey, I need to boost a post because the ad just exists. No, there's a meritocracy. You know which ads are the absolute best that you have. And that's where you should be spending the most money for your advertising campaign. You also start to understand which products and services, offers and discounts, and even audiences are the most effective for your business, which then creates this other thing, which we didn't talk about, which is advertising is a real-time focus group for your business. You get to understand in real time what businesses, what customers want from you, and you could align your business based on that insight. And that's one way to do it. Broad targeting, creative testing, the result is you train Meta's machine learning algorithm to find your best customers. And you can easily do that with $1,000 or $1,500 a month. You can actually probably do it with less and be effective with it as long as you keep doing it day in, you know, month in and month out, creating those 5 ads.
I love the use of the scientific method there to really identify what you should be investing in further and what's working and who you're attracting. So we can get some information about that into the show notes for sure. If anybody's interested in learning more from you, where else can we point them to?
Absolutely. So our website is brillmedia.co, B as in boy, R-I-L-L, media.co.co. There's a start now button. My email address is robert@brillmedia.co. And happy to talk. If you schedule a time, we'll talk about your advertising and marketing strategy and see if we can help you.
Great. I'll add information about all that into our show notes for everybody for easy access. In closing, I'd like to take a moment and thank our listeners. We wish you the best of luck as you move forward on your leadership journey. Please check back regularly for additional episodes.